Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I want to talk about wide receivers today and the landscape as we enter the trade deadline. So in terms of accomplishments, we've got some notable ones here. Our first hit, 8 of the top 24 wide receivers currently. I'm recording this before Monday Night Football has actually posted scores, but I don't think it's going to matter for this. Again, this is ballparking it. This isn't official things or anything like that. And again, you keep in mind some of the ranges of outcomes and that sort of stuff. But currently, in terms of hits, 8 of the top 24 are first-time hits. You got Ja'Marr Chase. So he is year-to-date 6, wide receiver 7, 19% over expectation. So that's a big one when I sort of look at that and say, that gives me a little bit of pause. So I'll just say that gives me some pause in terms of really elevating him. I know we talked about him and Justin Jefferson, him and some of the other guys up there. So I think he's a good receiver. I think he could look a little bit more like A.J. Brown than we're confident with. Someone posted just this week and they said, you know, hey, oh, I was really disappointed. I was hoping for, A.J. Brown hasn't lived up to expectations. I was like, well, what were you expecting? You know, and I wasn't being sarcastic. I wasn't being coy. Let's frame our expectations here. Like, he's a good receiver, but he's got wide receiver 3 type volume. What are you hoping for? And that's a little bit of what I'm concerned about with Ja'Marr Chase. And so, I mean, being 20%, 19% over expectation, and that getting you to wide receiver 6, it's tough to live up to a wide receiver 1 overall billing when that's going to be the case. I mean, that looks a lot more like a fringe wide receiver 2-3 than it does a mid wide receiver 1, that expectation. So again, could things change? Yes. But T. Higgins, is I don't think he's going anywhere. Tyler Boyd, probably not going anywhere. You're going to see a massive overhaul in this offense that they decided to change the volume and structure of it, so that way it becomes a very pass-happy, high-volume thing. I don't think that there's a ton of reason to do that right now. They kind of did that last year, and it didn't work. So they've found this new middle ground that has worked. I mean, we could talk about whether or not that's a good idea or whatnot, but ultimately, I have a little bit of pause with it. So ultimately, you're looking at a situation where Chase is probably overcooked, and so that's sort of my concern about it. Ultimately, Devonta Smith, he's wide receiver 24 in terms of total production, 35 in terms of points per game, right at about expectation. You feel okay about that? So he's a yes in terms of hit at this particular moment. Again, it's gonna be a close call. We'll sort of see where he finishes out, but I think even if he gets to, you know, it's not necessarily top 24, you feel good from a top 36 perspective that he's got a good future in store. So if we talked about developmental hits there in AOD this past year. Jalen Waddle is further inside the lines. He's at 20. So again, I was concerned a little bit with his price. He's right about at expectation. So you feel, okay with him. Again, I don't necessarily love the usage. We'll sort of have to sort of dig into some of that, how that sort of translates and whatnot. But that's more of an off-season thing. And we'll see how the ultimate profile finishes out this year. I'm becoming more open to the idea that if you score this, this Deebo Samuel type role, some of these schemed up type roles, that if you sort of score well in that, right, that's actually a good thing, because listen, you're scoring well in this sort of manufactured role, it'll cause you to be have a more expanded role. I mean, that's at least some of my thought. So we'll see what ultimately the long-term prognosis for Waddle is. I'm encouraged at least that he's performing here. Again, at about expectation, you feel fine. Marquise Brown, here's a big one that I think is a riser in terms of how we think about him. And this might be a trade target. So he is 13th in terms of ADP, excuse me, he's 13th in terms of total points, 8th in terms of points per game. Again, he's missed a little time here. He was 56th in terms of RDP. I just don't think it's going to catch to where he's at. Okay, and even if you look, you know, he's going to be a little bit behind experience progress if you were to sort of look at that as a metric. You know, which I do think is a benchmark that we should consider with some of these hits. You know, when you hit on the hit arc, you know, how soon in your career do you do that? I think that matters. So he's a little bit behind it. That said, he is becoming just he should have probably had a hit on his resume before, and has basically been a near miss. He's still 25, and he's sort of in the mid range of his career. Do I put him on a full wide receiver one type arc? No. Would I pivot to him as someone sort of in the range above him? Yes. I'm that pivot probably looks like, you know, somewhere up from, and I don't think that this is probably gettable, but like that Amari Cooper, Mike Evans tier to him. Like, I don't think there's probably a terrible amount of difference there. But I wonder what the ultimate price would be. You know, could you go Adams to him plus plus? That would be interesting. Could you go from something lesser? Could you go Rondale Moore up? I'd like to do that. You know, could you go Curtis Samuel or Christian Kirk up? I'd like to do that. So those are sort of the things that I would look to do. But I do think if you're going to come down a tier, you want to get a plus plus. Right? You don't want to just, you know, take a second. Try and figure out a core piece. And if it's even adding to your side, get a core piece in that deal. I think that makes a lot of sense. Mike Williams, I'm not going to touch with a 10-foot pole, honestly. And if you look at these two guys, like Marquise Brown and Mike Williams, they're basically right next to each other. They're within a handful of picks in the offseason. Marquise Brown's outperforming Mike Williams. I don't know what they're going to look like. In terms of cost, I do know that Marquise Brown is 3 years younger. So there's that. So we'll see how that ultimately boils out. I think Mike Williams is probably doesn't move that much. It's hard to be my thought. You know, maybe he looks something in the wide receiver 35 to 40 range, something like that. I think it's probably a ceiling for him. I think with Marquise Brown, I think he could get up into the top 30 of the position, maybe even a little bit higher with his cost. Debo Samuel is another one. I hear, like, this is really interesting because 39.5, you look, he's 38% over expectation. He's 3 on the season, 2 in terms of points per game. There's just a lot of, right, what do we kind of talk about? Like, you don't want to be like the easiest time to miss on a one hit wonder, right? Is after they've hit once by definition. But when you sort of like that one hit wonder range of the position is a really dangerous one. And I think, like, where do you, you know, if you're thinking about that as being a dangerous spot, like, what are some of the indicators of it being dangerous? Well, you know, being massively over expectation. I think that's one. That's absolutely one. When you look at some of the other things in terms of it is like lesser pedigree, you know, some different usage, super high efficiency, all of those things. It gives you some concern, right? And then you sort of look at some of the risk factors that he would have going forward. Changing team, or changing quarterback, right? Changing team structure. Those sorts of things give me a little bit of pause. I like Debo Samuel. I'm probably more on board with him being a higher end asset than like Mike Williams, for example, even though we kind of have more of a sample size. We know that sample size gives me an indication of what Mike Williams is. Debo Samuel's at the point now where he's basically an all-time yards per route run guy. And I'll run some of that stats. I'll sort of run that down in the offseason. But he is going to be at least top 10, if not top 5, basically all time since we have that data tracked in basically PFF's life. Debo Samuel is going to be that. So he could be approaching, you know, in a really rarefied air. And so you look at those guys that are in there, they're damn good. That gives me a lot of, and again, that's a stat that comes before this. So there's a couple of things in the sense of, yeah, he's tracking towards a one-hit wonder, but at the same time, he is very much on a, path of he's shown that he can do this before, even in small sample size. He's been dominant from a short yards per route run perspective as well. So that's really my angle on him at present. Michael Pittman's another one that I think is a riser at the position. Again, I have a little bit of question about some of the where he stands in terms of like long-term longevity with the actual position itself for the Colts, for the team, their offense in particular with Carson Wentz and all that. But you look, you know, he has some prototypical elements to his size, and then he's wide receiver 22 in points per game. He's overperforming expectation a little bit, so he's about about 2 points over expectation, so north of 10%. It gives me just a shade of pause. But ultimately, I think he has proven that he can, like, he's proven to me that he can play and that he can play pretty well. And so I think with him, I think he's going to be more expensive than a guy like Williams will. He's just there sooner. He should absolutely slot in. Again, I think maybe in like that, you kind of think of where that T. Higgins range, the position was last year, sort of in that range, if not a little bit higher than that. Again, I'd have a hard time pushing him up against guys like Evans and Cooper, just because you're getting you're sort of in that sphere of the position again, where that one hit for some of these guys that have lesser pedigree behind them, right? He wasn't a great producer in college, so he has this hit. It's good. It's fine. Everything excellent this year in the pros. It gives me just a little bit of pause question. I want to sort of pump the brakes in terms of being really aggressive and sort of know where our misses can, our costly misses can happen is this type of profile. So these are cautionary things. Christian Kirk, again, another one. You know, this is a year 4 breakout. 18% over expectation. Danger, danger, danger. Again, and he's on the fringe wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. Of these guys, you know, if you were to look, like, hey, there's maybe about a 50% flame out rate of the hits. Like, it's much more Christian Kirk, Mike Williams, especially in that category of guys like a little bit later on in their career. Like, those guys reek of danger for that. We'll look next at the wide receivers who have hit for the second time or who are on pace to hit for the second time. You get into some additional levels of security. Justin Jefferson has hit, so that crosses the bridge from 1 to 2 hits. That's, I think, significant and important. I still had him up at the top of the position. Good to see him, good to see him sort of on that track. CD Lamb's another one that I had some pause with. I had a lot of questions about, given the, you know, some of the usage stuff. I still have those questions, right? I still have, in a perfect world, in a Michael Gallup, in a perfect world for the Dallas offense, in a world where Gallup is as involved, CeeDee Lamb is probably going to be playing the slot and maybe not necessarily playing 100% of what you would otherwise hope for in terms of snaps, right? Like 90%+ snap share, he's probably not going to play that, which gives me a little bit of pause. He was wide receiver 5 coming into the offseason, coming from the offseason. This is going to probably do nothing to hurt his resume, but again, I'm not paying that. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to overpay for that. I would rather get to a spot where, you know, I'd rather pay up for Jefferson, or I'd rather pay across the position, give me a tight end, for example, in tight end premium or anything like that. I would much rather go that particular route than to pay what is, I think, an otherwise a little bit hemmed in role for CeeDee Lamb. He's a guy that pivot. I think you can pivot down, you can pivot up. You know, if it depends, could you go Lamb to Cooper in a first, right? Can you go Lamb across positions, Lamb to Hockenson plus, and depending on the format and the juice that you can get. I mean, if you get a first on top of that in like a safe leagues type situation, that's a smashing success. I think all those things are things to explore in terms of that. So I would look at a pivot off of Lamb just because I still feel he's a little bit pinned in. And again, if he's producing wide receiver 15 in points per game and we're moving him up from wide receiver 5, that seems like an overpay. Just to, you know, listen, I get he's a good player. It gives me a little bit of pause that he's hemmed in. DJ Moore is another one that I think's interesting. We're getting a new trajectory on him. We're getting a second hit here. He had a 25 finish too. So really, he's got three top 25 finishes. Again, I just measured top 24 just because I gotta pick a number at some point. So if you put him, you know, he was basically on a multi-hit trajectory already. He gets there. That's good. And he's shown he can do it with multiple quarterbacks now. So he'll be 25. So all that, you know, you basically have two hits, you know, three if you want to be generous to him on his resume at 25 years old. You feel really good about that being a sound thing. You know, is that a pivot that you could go from? Can you go Lamb to Moore plus? What's the spread there? You know, that's something I think is really compelling because I don't think they're that different, especially in ceiling and in floor. Like, you could argue to me that Moore has a higher ceiling just in terms of snap share and all that stuff. That's just that's just my thought. The last one that I think is really interesting is Cooper Kupp, and I don't know if we have a great comp for him. This is the thing that's going to be fascinating. So you basically have Kupp coming in who's got one hit on his resume. He's going to be 29 years old. And I'm a fan, by the way. It's worth noting that. I mean, we met him at the Senior Bowl. He was really good to us. Spent a lot of time, talked analytics. Major was a math major. It's one of those guys, like, now he could be an NIL for AOD. Like, had we been in that situation, you know, what, 4 or 5 years ago when he was coming out, that would be a situation where, hey, we could have signed him up to an NIL type deal and sponsored him. But he fit the mold with an analytics appreciation. He's analytics friendly, if you will. Now he's coming a wide receiver 1. He'd be hard pressed not to finish his wide receiver 1, especially in points per game. If he gets hurt, maybe we see a drop off. But at this point, he's in a really, really good spot to close out the season as a wide receiver 1, the wide receiver 1. Where do we put him? And this is going to be fascinating. And I, like, is he a top 12 wide receiver? Because that's a really rare move. It's a really rare move. Of that late of a breakout, I don't think we have a comp for that. And that'll be something that I'll have to think more about and look for some potential other comps. There isn't one coming to mind that you're getting like a late career hit for that elite hit at 29 years old when you're coming from basically the wide receiver 3 in cost. And I think at this point he's probably, you can, one of the things with a guy like this, don't wait to the offseason to buy him now. And here's why. Because even, yeah, the price has gone up, but you're catching a really important part of his prime window now. So why pay wide receiver 14 price in the offseason when you could pay wide receiver 14 price right now and get the part of his, a significant portion of his prime that can help you right now, right? So that's the thing that I would do. Like, he's not an offseason buy, he's a right now buy. Like, pay up to get him as a contender. Those would be my thoughts there on Cooper. Again, I think in the wide receiver 2 type landscape of the cost, I think that's really good. Again, then you think of the other ways to pivot. You know, what's Lamb to Cooper? That's an interesting one to me in terms of how you put that. I would imagine if I did a Twitter poll on that, it's 90-10. And you could I don't think that Cooper is, or I don't think that Lamb's that much of a advantage over Kupp next year. You know, so that's the deal. When you look at some of these trades for Cooper, Michael Carter in a first, Stephon Diggs in a 2023 first. That's one where I would run over grandma to get to the Diggs side of that. That's an overpay, a massive overpay. But Terry McLaurin and Rondale Moore, Aaron Jones, Kenny Galladay, and T. Higgins. I mean, that's probably a little bit of an overpay. Again, how much of a difference does any of those guys make, especially with Aaron Jones out? You know, it would depend on my contending situation. Even if I was a building team, I might look at that and be like, they're fine. And honestly, the answer is probably that side with the package if I'm a building team. But you know, I don't know if I love those guys. Not if I love T. Higgins as like a long-term difference maker. So that's a different option that's out there. I think I mentioned McLaurin and Rondale Moore. That's interesting if you're going to sell Cooper. That's probably an interesting one. And I'm not a huge Rondale Moore profile fan, but I sort of get it. Cooper Kupp for Kareem Hunt, Goddard in a third. They're all over the place in terms of construct. T. Higgins a second and a third. I would probably do that. 2022 first in Montez Sweat and IDP. T. Higgins, Hunter Henry, and a first in 2024. Right. So you get all over the place. Look in terms of wide receivers. DK Metcalf straight up. That was about a week ago, 2 weeks ago now. Alan Lazard and two firsts. If those are late, that's interesting. Two firsts in 2023 for Cooper Kupp and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like that's one where it gives me a little bit of pause too. Cousins and Kupp for Russ. That's interesting. Yeah, so you sort of look at these, there's all sorts of ones. But again, the straight 2022 first, I mean, hammer that home. Because you're not even going to beat that. When that's on the clock, Cooper Kupp is still plus EV on that pick. Almost assuredly, assuming that's not a top three pick, almost assuredly Cooper Kupp's going to beat that. And you get this range right now. And even if you think like, all right, just got through week 11. All right, so he's got six games basically left in his fantasy usefulness to you. What is that in his career of fantasy games? Right, what is that in his prime? If he has 3 years of his prime left, which I'm not sure that he does, right? Let's just assume that for a second. He's got 3 years left, and that would be really it's 16 games now because you know you're not going to play in his last game, which would be his 17th game. You know, so you look at that, and that's three. And again, now you've got week 12, you've got week 13, you got week 14. Again, I usually measure regular season, but we'll just take it to the end. If you assume you're going to sort of be there, you got week 15, 16, 17, right? So you got 6 weeks. So it's basically, it's 11% of his prime. You know, if you take that down another peg, so you take it down to it actually being, you know, two seasons, which I think most people would feel a little bit more comfortable with. It becomes even more powerful, right? So it becomes, basically 38 games left. Now you're about 16%. And then you sort of take that, well, what if it's only next year, right? So you're sort of getting all of that spend, right? You're looking and now you have a significant chunk of his prime that you're capitalizing on right now. Pay the price now, then pay the price later. That's my thought on those, especially with a situation like Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's a buy now, probably not necessarily in the offseason. I do also want to run down some of the tier stuff. So we look at the multi-hit guys, 29 years of age or older. We still get a top six arc right now for Devontae Adams. He was at wide receiver six coming this offseason. That was all over the place depending on when you were drafting. That feels very much like there's still a lot of risk on that, and that he's going to be going into the age 30 season. And a lot of that risk is Aaron Rodgers related. So he doesn't have a kind. He's going to be a free agent as well. So those things give me pause on where to feel about him. Again, if he was going to be back there, situation the same, you know, I think 6 to 10 makes a lot of sense in terms of cost. That sort of range, that lower end wide receiver one, basically going on 30. Again, so you sort of put that around what would you think about Cooper Kupp? Honestly, Kupp could be in a better situation over the next couple of years, right? So that's an interesting one, especially if you wanted to pivot Adams to Kupp. I don't know if you can do that right now, but it'd be an interesting one if snap right in the offseason, you could potentially do that. But again, I just got done saying that Kupp's probably by now more than he is in the offseason. All right, DeAndre Hopkins is one that I think could plummet. He's wide receiver 29 right now. He's 19 in points per game, dinged up a little bit by injuries, was 10 in the offseason. When you look at that tier of multi-hit guys 29 years of age or older, here's where their RDPs were. It was Hopkins at 10, Allen at 17, Woods at 26, Julio at 33.5, 31.5 for Lockett, Odell Beckham Jr. at 38, Thielen's at 37, 56 for Landry, 57 for Antonio Brown. You get the point on these. Marvin Jones in the 60s, Hilton, AJ Green, 70s and 80s, Emmanuel Sanders in the 80s. You get the idea, right? It's a the tail is very much pointing in the wrong direction. So I would suspect that DeAndre Hopkins is going to look more like Robert Woods next year than he's going to look like DeAndre Hopkins. Then he's going to look like Davante Adams, I should say. That multiple round fall, especially if he misses, right? That's kind of what we see. So I'd look at him like 6th, 7th round, much more likely, especially going to be 30. So that's a pause that I have a little bit of concern. Could a guy like Keenan Allen, and this might continue to be a situation where Keenan Allen's underpriced, because if a guy like Keenan Allen outproduces Hopkins, is the market going to recenter itself so that way it has Allen above Hopkins in terms of cost based on what he did this year? Probably not. And so it's ultimately going to make a value anyway. So that would give me I think Allen and Hopkins might be correlated a little bit. Enough to the point where it continues to create some value for Allen. So here's one that he's going to potentially fall in price. I still think with that, but he's got wide receiver. He definitely has wide receiver one well in his range of outcomes, and he's a guy that's going to age. It's probably going to age pretty well. So that combination is really interesting here, and I think he's one that I think if you buy him now at like a wide receiver 2 type price, you're not going to feel bad about it in 6 months. If you buy Hopkins at a wide receiver 1 type price, I think you're probably going to feel bad about it. That would sort of be my thought. Woods is a plummeter. Julio's a plummeter. All those guys I think are plummeters. Thielen will be interesting. Again, I hate buying guys that are super high over expectation. It's just not something I love to do, so that gives me a little bit of pause. Tyreek Hill, the next tier down, so this is 28 years or younger, headlined by Tyreek Hill. He's wide receiver 2. He was a wide receiver 3 cost. He's outproducing RDP, smashing success. Again, this is one where now you're getting into he's going to be 28. He's a speed-based receiver, all those things. He's got 5 hits on his resume, 4 top 12s. I think he's still right there at the position. I think there could be some potential erosion a little bit. Again, you're going to get guys like Chase. You're going to get guys like Jefferson. Probably going to get guys like Lamb up above him. So maybe he finishes top 6 or so around there, depending on where Adams is and some of the other guys that we've discussed. I do think he tends to slide a little bit. AJ Brown's one that, again, we've talked about this. Like, this is one where these are easy, like, routine ground balls that you just don't miss. Wide receiver 3 in terms of expectation, don't spend a top 3 cost on them. And I'm telling you that because this is what we're doing with Jamar Chase. Don't do that. Wide receiver 28, wide receiver 33 and 32 in points per game. Don't do that. He should be a faller in price, but again, and for what purpose? Why? Because we bought him up there because he's young and insulated in value. How did that work out for us? Right, that is that's just always a terrible. Assuming that you're going to have future appeal to the marketplace when you're sort of betting on over efficiency is just a terrible bet to make, a terrible bet, because the masses will be stupid. Again, I hate the masses being stupid discussion, but this is a case of it where the masses will be stupid and not catch up to the inefficiency that we knew was there in advance, and they'll catch up to it, and all of a sudden the market will overcorrect and you'll sort of be on the losing end of that. Don't do that. Calvin Ridley is going to be one that's interesting. Again, he's 24 in points per game. I'm sure that'll be harkened back to a lot. He's 8 in terms of cost. You know, does he drop 3 or 4 rounds, right? Does he drop into that Keenan Allen Hopkins range of the position? Because if he does, like, that's something that really compelling and interesting to me. Michael Thomas, similarly. That's about the range he was in, right? At 709, 26.5 ADP was his RDP in the offseason. Like, that's one that I think is somewhat compelling. You're going to get a little erosion from Mike Cooper's in that range. Allen Robinson's probably the big miss in that range. You know, being at 13.5 as an RDP in the fifth round, he's at 65 in terms of points total, 74 in points per game, right? That's a cratering type situation. He's probably more likely to be wide receiver 40 than he is wide receiver 30 at this point, especially with a changing team. That could potentially spell some danger. Mike Evans is what should surprise virtually nobody, is overperforming expectation. He's wide receiver 19. He's actually 12th in points per game. And he added his points again this week. This, again, I'm recording before the scores have published for Football Guys, or for Monday Night Football and Football Guys. So I just don't have all the corrected stats based with Mike Evans. Everything else is, you know, again, these are rough approximations. I think his numbers got even better. I know his overall finish would have improved off of that, but you get the idea. Rock solid wide receiver 2 at a late wide receiver 2 cost. I mean, yep, go ahead and do all that. Galladay should be a faller. He was 33.5 at the position, 83 now. 27.5 was Juju. He's 106 overall. Again, obviously injured, and that's going to continue to fall. That's a faller. Brandon Cooks, wide receiver 2 at a wide receiver 4 price. Mr. Top 20 was his moniker on the tiers in the offseason. He's wide receiver 22 at present. So pretty close, missing a little bit there. And Robbie Anderson, just a total crater job. He's 52 in terms of cost. Actually, 62 in terms of points per game. So I was big on him. And it's like, oh, I didn't miss that bad. Like, it wasn't that horrible of a miss. But yeah, so that wasn't successful in terms of kicking over, you know, outkicking the production. Deontay Johnson is another one that I think is going to be, he'll be pretty interesting right now in terms of where he's going to be at. A couple other names to note here in this section as well. I just want to sort of hit on some of the higher priced guys, the younger guys here. Jerry Jeudy, I'm bailing, given the fact that Sutton and Tim Patrick signed to longer term deals. I mean, where are we? That's not a great sign for Jeudy. He's 22.5 in terms of RDP. He's 45 in terms of points per game, 96 overall. Like, that 45 projection was a lot closer. If you remember going back, we discussed that going back to the looking at the projections from the player comp machine. That was a range that was like absolutely 100% in, like, fully in his range of outcomes. Honestly, a median projection was that. And you sort of looked at where he was in points per game projected. Like, it was very similar to that. So a ton of caution there. A guy like Rager will potentially fall through the floor here. I did a deal the other day, and I traded Elijah Moore and Jalen Rager for an upgrade, and I can't remember the position that I did it. Might have been at wide receiver. I can't remember exactly who I bought. But the moral of the story is, I would do that deal now. That deal's probably not going to be there for Rager in the offseason. Like, people still have a little bit of hope or whatnot. Wide receiver 80. The market hasn't recalibrated. Bail on that right now. Bail on those type of situations. Corey Davis, 41 in points per game. 30 41 in terms of overall, 30 in points per game, 51 in terms of RDP. So again, I think he maybe settles around or about there, but will be some movement. We get Kadarius Toney, and he's been all over the place. I'll be really interested to see what the market does with Kadarius Toney, because he has been all over the place in terms of his, like, in terms of his production profile and all that. I think the market tended to be too unfair with him in his development process. We'll see here, you know, what the makeup is once we get into this off season and get some readjustment. I'll be really curious to see where that is. T. Higgins, wide receiver 48 in points per game, 39 in rank. He was 16th in terms of RDP. Again, a trigger in the wrong direction. You don't love to see that. So we'll see. I would imagine he's going to be a falling guy in that 7th, 8th round range there in the, you know, in the right around 30 at the position, if not a little bit worse. Definitely a situation I'd pull the grip cord on a top 24 value if I could right now at the wide receiver position. Get out right now. And that's pretty much it in terms of like some like bail spots. I mean, I guess Brian Edwards, if you got him, like go get something for him right now with the hope that he can progress. Second round valuation, go take it. You got it. Those sorts of things. So that would be my thought on that. So, all right, well, I hope this guided you through a little bit of the landscape here of the position so we get some idea, maybe some trade ideas. Again, trying to get as much out to you as I can possibly get out before your trade deadline. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. Be on the lookout for tight ends, trade show here coming up, and I have a waiver wire for you as well. Running back, the human hand grenade rundown, a separate running back show, quarterback show as well. We're going to be running almost 10 podcasts this week. So we'll be just continuing to churn it out. And listen, this is all just getting in shape for the off season. I think it's a long off season. Like that's the dynasty stuff. This is the, you know, the blood pumping, and then you get sort of the theoretical dynasty off season. We're just, the regular season is just, it's just like swinging with a batting weight. It's just, that's all it is. Then we got all the off-season content coming out. So really excited for that. Analytics Dynasty 2022 is taking shape as well. At some point, I'll actually have to get stuff to the editor. We're going to have to, you know, pull the plug on the research and force myself to actually commit to some final stuff. But, yeah, so that's it. And, you know, look for Tight End Edition, Waiver Wire Show. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. Talk again very soon.